While other radio stations cut corners by just playing the tunes, WILO not only gives you America's best music, but keeps you informed with everything you need to know about what's going on in and around Clinton and surrounding counties. Local news, sports, Central Indiana farm information, Dave Ramsey, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, and emergency weather, plus WILO TV coverage, and so much more. We do more than play the tunes. We are a part of your life. 1570 AM and 96.9 FM. WILO.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Wealthy Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Hardesty Landscaping, and Compass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We're now being joined in the studio by our guest, who is Frankfort Fire Department Chief John Kirby. John, good morning. How you doing?
Just fine, Ken. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. So how's life at the fire department these days?
It's going good.
Going good?
Yeah, I think the guys are enjoying themselves at work and been doing a lot of work around the station over the winter, keeping, you know, everybody's been keeping themselves busy. One of the crews came to me about last November and asked if they could redo the classroom and do some work in there and redo some remodeling in there. And I'm like, sure, you know, whenever you got guys willing to do some stuff. And we got a lot of talented guys on our department when it comes to woodworking and, you know, electrical work. And just, I mean, it's, they've always been a lot of talented guys, you know, because they do jobs on their days off. And a lot of them, that's the kind of work they do.
Right.
So,
You guys did something I can't remember if you've done or not since I've been here, but you had all three places had open houses on the 26th of April,
right?
How'd that go over?
It went good, and like I said, that's one of the reasons we had an open house, because this winter the guys, they did a lot of painting, they remodeled the bedrooms, putting cubicles up, they actually built new lockers in our locker room, redid the locker room, our kitchen's been remodeled. And all this stuff has been done, all this work's been done by the firefighters. These guys, like I said, they've worked hard at work. And in the meantime, while they're doing all this work, you know, they're still answering their calls. They're still doing their training. You know, we had a slew of fires over the winter.
I want to get to that in a few minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the open house, it went well. We wish there would have been more citizens that would have stopped by to see some of the work that we've done and get to know some of the firefighters. We got a lot of new firefighters, a lot of new faces. So it would have been nice to have more people, but, you know, we did open the stations up, and here's the thing. The stations are opened up every day. I mean, anybody can stop by. It doesn't have to be an open house, you know, on a nice day or whatever. If you're out and about and you want to stop by and see the fire station, you're more than welcome to stop by.
Yeah, it's getting nice. I see most of your guys out across the street here, so I usually go out and have a long couple chats or a long chat.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, the guys, they love visitors, and they love to show kids the fire trucks and things of that nature.
You also are starting to do a little bit of work on Station 1 down there out in front, aren't you?
Yes, and obviously the rain is kind of
curtailed that for right now.
Yes, because the company we hired to – can you hear me? The company we hired to redo our sign, they're also they're busy doing some work out at the park. So with the rain, I mean, you know, it's setting them back a little bit. So just bear with us, and when we are finished, it's going to look very nice out front there.
What kind of stuff you haven't done out there?
Well, we're just, you know, that sign that's out there right now, it was put there, that building was built in 1988, so that sign's been out there for a long time. So we're having a new sign put up, having some tuck pointing, brick tuck pointing done to the, to the sign that's there, and then a new sign will go on the front of it with some lighting, having some new flagpoles put up, you know, doing some landscaping around that station, around the, you know, the front there. Last summer we had some huge rotting trees. We had those taken down, so it kind of opened that space up there. So it will give us about another 2 or 3 weeks, and it should be complete.
You know, people don't realize that it's they get an opportunity to take those trees down, do it, because if you don't, you're liable to have more headaches than you ever will think about.
Well, one of them, the guy who took him down, he said it was rotted all the way through, and that was the biggest tree there. So, you know, we had some damage done to part of the building there where limbs would fall throughout the year and stuff. So it was time to do that.
I know I had a huge tree that was in my, back when I was back in Illinois, fell around the house. It should have fell through the house, but it fell around the house. So I got lucky when I took a row of shingles off. But but the guy who eventually took it out for me, he had 12 pickup loads of, after he cut it up, he had 12 pickup loads. So
that's a big tree.
It's a big old tree.
Yeah.
So, are you guys back up to full staff now, or are we looking for some more people?
Well, we're always looking for more people, Ken, but right now we are at 38 firefighters. In 2012, we were at 33. So gradually, administration and city council has granted us, you know, about a firefighter a year. And, you know, when you get called on a fire and you're showing up with eight guys, you know, you're behind the eight ball already anyway, so you're showing up with that kind of manpower, it makes it tough on the guys. So we have been adding a firefighter for the last few years, one a year, and it's helping out tremendous.
You know, another thing that you've been talking about is that you're going to start doing some, I would call it safety training, but you're going to do a lot of, you know, some safety things with burning buildings and those kind of on your own, correct?
Yes, we've been doing some really good training since we took over the IU clinic, the old clinic on Oak Street, right behind the hospital. We started training in that building April the 29th, yesterday was the last day of training. Today, they're going to start actually taking that building down. So if you, you know, if you happen to be that way, you're going to see fences up around that building now, and you're going to see, you know, large trucks and things of that nature, and they're going to start getting rid of that building. They're moving forward on the new hospital. So we've done some great training there. We really appreciate IU giving us that building, because it's not every day someone hands you a building to go in and say, you know, hey, do what you have to do. I mean, we tore that building, I mean, up pretty bad. I mean, our guys going there, we've breached walls, and meaning, you know, if you get trapped in a room, you can't get out. You know, there's other ways you have to figure out how to get out. So one of them is to breach a wall and actually crawl through into the next room. So if you walk through there now, there's all kinds of holes in the walls and where the guys have practiced that. If you drive by there, you will see probably 20 to 30 holes cut up on the roof. And what the guys were training with there was actually cutting ventilation holes. You know, when we need to do a vertical ventilation in a fire. So that has been very good, especially for our young guys. I remember when I cut my first ventilation hole, you know, we went through the classes, but we didn't have any buildings. You can't just go start cutting on a good building. So the first ventilation hole I ever cut as a firefighter was actually on a real fire. And, you know, it's a little bit different when you got that hot gases and smoke and fire coming up through that hole as you're cutting it, as to being able to go out and practice cutting that hole. So now when the guys go, you know, do the real thing, they're going to be a little more at ease to doing that.
You know, I don't think people really realize is that when you do have to do some special things like you had to do in the fires downtown when the situation with Greg Miller happened, where you fell through the floor. I mean, when you actually have to go in and rescue somebody and help people out of it. I mean, people don't really realize this. That's part of it as well.
Right. Yeah, and we had a couple Mayday drills where, you know, that's a firefighter down where we had to send, you know, firefighters in to rescue them in the IU. So it's been really good training this past about 2 or 3 weeks. And we obtained a house on the corner of Morrison and Hoke Street where we're actually going to get to do live burns. And we had to fill the paperwork out through IDEM, had to jump through a few hoops to be able to obtain this house. Neighbors bought the house, and obviously they're wanting, it's just an old, you know, mm-hmm. broken down house. And they had to do some things for us so we can do some live burns, which they had to get rid of the shingles and things of that nature. So it's, you know, a little cleaner, I guess, when we burn it down for them.
You know, when you go into a situation like you did with the buildings downtown, what is the general shape of the inside of some of those buildings, especially upstairs where you don't necessarily have too much traffic?
Well, a lot of those buildings, they've been cut up, added some false ceilings you got to deal with. You have to deal with some rooms being added on, you know, with some extra walls up. Then you get upstairs, a lot of the upstairs in those buildings are used for storage. So, you know, there's not much room to maneuver upstairs. A lot of weight up, you know, on those floors. Our inspector, he goes down there annually and does his inspections downtown, walks through the buildings, you know, tells the owners what they need to do to make it more safe for us when we do have to come, and not only for us, but for our citizens as well. So, you know, there's always, in those old buildings, you're always going to have, you know, it's always going to be tough when you get called down there to fight a fire, for sure.
You're always going to come up with something you do not expect.
Exactly. No matter how many times, and our guys, you know, we do go down and walk through the buildings, you know, try to do pre-planning in our head, try to see what maybe we're going to be up against if we do get a fire downtown. And so our guys, we do get down there and walk through them, and, you know, and that's all for pre-planning, just in case we do get a fire.
You know, and the other thing, and you hit on this earlier. Earlier this year, you had like what, 7 fires in 8 weeks or something like that, or?
Well, from January 22nd to March 13th, we had 8 fires that, and we've had a few smaller fires. I don't even count as a fire. You know, I'm talking about someone burning something on a stove. You know, we have those all the time, or an outlet. Someone smells smoke, and we get there, and we get our heat gun out or our camera, and we find that it may be one of the walls right there with an outlet, might be the wires burning, and, you know, we get it before it actually gets the house on fire. So those are fire calls as well, but actual, you know, fully involved fires, we had 8 fires. And it seemed like it was a lot of fires there, you know, just because it was like 1 or 2 a week. So,
and the weather was just so nice back then.
Oh, yeah. That's usually when you get those type of fires, is usually in the winter. You know, we call that fire season, mm-hmm. the fire station. So, you know, because you got people out with, they got their fireplaces going. They got, you know, extra sources for heat as far as like, you know, your heat lamps or your
candles
and things of that nature. But so in the wintertime, you know, you got your furnace going, you get a lot of extra reasons why you could get a house fire.
You know, I know you guys made a concerted effort to make sure you get more fire departments, districts involved, and it really paid off, especially when the fact you had Lebanon come up and really help you guys out when the downtown fire hit.
Yeah, we have great relationships with our surrounding fire departments. Not only our volunteers, but also, you know, Lafayette, Lebanon, Westfield, departments of that nature. During that downtown fire, you know, I was getting texts and calls from the fire chief in Lafayette, but the fire chief of Westfield saying, if you need anything, let us know. So that's really nice to know that if you need more trucks or more manpower, you know, you can get those guys. But, you know, you can't take anything away from our volunteer departments in this county, because, you know, when we have something like this, these guys, You know, they drop what they're doing. They come to town. They bring their trucks that are protecting their community and actually stand by while our guys are down working this downtown fire. We had, you know, Station 7, which is Michigantown, that we had one of their trucks and their personnel up at fire headquarters in case, and one of the things we got to worry about if we get a house fire somewhere else on the other side of town. And we had Rossville come down, and they stood by at Station 2. So these guys come to town, and they're ready to help in whatever way we need them to, and that's very much appreciated. And we did have Lebanon Fire Department come up with their ladder truck, so we was able to get two aerials up in the air fighting that fire, which saved the rest of that block.
Mm-hmm. And realistically, that's probably the worst fire you've had since you've been in chief, wasn't it?
Yes. You know, knock on wood, you always hate to hear when you get a downtown fire, and we went through 7 years never and did not have one, and we finally got ours, and our crews did a great job.
You know, the last one I can remember was before you became chief. I think I can't think who was the chief at that time. That's when those apartments above Jill Snyder's building down on the second floor.
Right,
that's the last one I can remember prior to those two.
And that was a good stop there. That was Ron Bogard was the chief.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't remember Ron, but yeah.
Yeah, and then when Greg Miller was the chief, we had the one on the corner of Jackson and Washington, the Daz Mall.
Yeah.
Is that what it was called? That place was called? I can't even remember the name of it.
I can't either.
It's where the apartments are now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like every chief gets his downtown fire, and I was hoping to get through without one. So, but
I think you guys did a pretty good job with a little bit of help, though.
Oh, yeah, they did. Our guys did a great job. We had a couple guys that was out of town. So basically we had 36 firefighters that got called in, and everybody responded quickly and efficiently. And that's what you ask for your guys. That's dedication. When you can get 36 out of 38 guys here, and the other two guys, the reason they weren't here, one of them was in Paris, France, and the other one was in Chicago. So,
You know, and the other thing of it is that, yeah, you lost two businesses, but you only had one person get hurt, and that really wasn't very serious, thank goodness.
Right.
You know,
it was scary.
And the other thing of it is like you said, with all the help that you had, you saved the rest of the block, and really you got out in pretty good shape considering everything that took place that day.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. You want to try to, you know, get a stop on a fire, and we were hoping out of the first building we got it. We kept it out of the second, you know, building, but unfortunately that wasn't the case. It already had a jump on us, but we were, with the help of another aerial coming up from Boone County, we were able to keep it from getting into the rest of the
buildings.
Yeah. So,
you know, and the unfortunate thing is a lot of those older buildings, they burn so much easier.
Right.
Than what some of the newer ones were.
Yeah.
And that's the bad part about it.
Well, like I said, you get false ceilings. Like that second building, it got up in the false ceiling, and we really couldn't see it until after it was too late. And honestly, the sheriff's department brought their drone over, and that's how we were able to, with the infrared camera, that's how we were able to see that it was all through that building upstairs, but you couldn't see it yet.
Okay.
So,
all right, I'm going to take a quick break here right now. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Hardesty Landscaping, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We'll be right back.
At Milner Community Healthcare, we're blessed to be a part of restoring people's lives every day. From our loving and dedicated nursing team to our highly skilled therapist, Milner is your place for short-term rehabilitation. We treat a wide range of conditions using clinical programs proven to get the best results. Our goal is the same as yours, to get you back to good health and home as quickly as possible. Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Every day making a difference.
You know that thing you need?
Which one? A vacation? New golf clubs? A lawnmower?
Don't charge it. Save for it. When there's something you're saving for, saving is our thing. Encompass Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. Every day, making a difference.
Making a difference. Every day.
This is Party Line on WILO AM and FM. Phone lines are open. Locally call 659-3338 or call toll-free in Kokomo and Lafayette at 1-800-447-4463. Now, let's rejoin Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Wealthy Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Hardesty Landscaping, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Our in-studio guest is Frankfort Fire Chief John Kirby. John, you sort of mentioned it in some of the things we were just talking about. You guys have got a lot of different type of firefighting equipment now that helps you find things that you may not necessarily be able to see anymore, don't you?
Yeah, we have new cameras that we've purchased here, you know, throughout the years. And obviously those things pick up heat. When you go into a house, if you got a little boy or little kid hiding, you know, because they're scared, you're able to pick up their body heat and find them. And that's why I was talking about the Sheriff's Department. You know, we really appreciated their assistance in that downtown fire because they actually brought over their drone and they flew over the building, which is something we've never had before, and was actually able to see where the fire was up in that second building. And that's how we, at that time, we knew that, you know, it's already up in that upper floor of that building. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they had false ceilings up there, and we had no smoke. We had no heat at that time, but the fire was already there.
So you yourselves, the department, does not have any drones as of yet, correct?
Right, right.
I know. Is that something that you want down the line?
Possibly, and, you know, through, you know, the Sheriff's Department, they're always willing to come and help. They said anytime we need them and anything, all we got to do is call them. But, I mean, down the line, I mean, possibly that could be a, you know, piece of equipment we could, you know, look for.
Are there any other types of equipment out there that you really want right now that you don't have? I think you're doing pretty good, though, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. We've been very fortunate that our administration and our city council has supported us in some of the things we've, you know, we've wanted to do. We've got new air packs, new masks. You know, one of the things with our old air packs and mask, when you was in a fire, you couldn't hear the guy very well because, you know, just of the, you know, older equipment. And now we're sitting there with Bluetooth capabilities in our mask where you're going to be able to hear the guys talk a little better, be able to understand what they're saying. And that was a year ago. We had that in our five-year cap improvement plan that we needed those, believe it or not, mask, air packs, and bottles. We was looking around $280,000 just for those.
And people would say that there's no way in the world that's that kind of price, but it is, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's for our guys' safety. And, you know, NFPA standards, you know, they say about every 10 years you're supposed to look into getting new. They recommend you to get new masks, new packs, and it was time. This year, we had to get new radios for all of our firefighters. One of the problems that we were having was the old radios we had that we purchased in 2009 were not intrinsically safe. Well, if you know, we needed a radio that we could take into an explosion, hazardous environment, and be able not to worry about possibly having some type of explosion that could, you know, possibly kill one of our firefighters or any civilians or any workers at one of these industrial parks. You know, we go into a place like ADM, and when we go there on tours, do walkthrough tours, there's one special part of that place. They don't want us, our cell phones, to be on, just because, you know, they, in that particular area, they don't want any type of sparks. And then not to have a radio, you know, we're a hazmat team, we're a fire department, not to have a radio that we can say that's intrinsically safe was a pretty scary thing. So this year we purchased 40 new radios.
Mm-hmm. And also when you have fires like RNA plastics, makes a big difference too.
Yes.
So we got a caller here for you.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Kirby.
Hi, Carl.
Good morning.
What's going on?
You know, Mr. Kirby, back in the 50s, about all your houses is 60-amp service.
Right.
And then along came the 70s, and they had that old wiring. I don't know what that's called, but it was terrible wiring. It was covered in this black tar stuff, you know. And some of them didn't have grounds or nothing like that in these houses.
Right.
And they just went in there and they said, well, with all the appliances we're getting today, we're just going to convert this over to 100 amp.
Right.
So they just go in there and they tear the box out. And they changed it over to 100 amp, but they didn't change no wiring in the house. They just changed it to 100, see? Well, now all your new houses, mine's 200 amp.
200, yes.
Yes. Is there very many houses and even the downtown fires, because that whole corner's burned up, you know, Sadie's and the drugstore all the way down through. Do you think that was caused by 60 amp service?
Are you talking about the last fire we had?
All of them.
Honestly, I can't speak for all of them. All I know is this last fire we had five different fire inspectors down there, fire investigators. We had ATF was there because we had a bar that was down there, the sports bar. We had the fire marshal's office had their investigators down there. We had our investigators. Then we had two different insurance companies had their investigators. So we had all these different entities investigating this fire. And they were never really ever able to find the exact cause of this fire. They went through all the wiring. There was nothing to lead them to believe, you know, point anything out that was the cause of that. So that
was
fire,
it old wiring?
I can't, honestly, I don't know about that. I apologize about that. But yeah, you're right about, you know, I'll be honest with you. I was told here about a year ago at my house I have 100 amp service and I was told I need to upgrade to 200 amp. So you will find a lot of houses that are probably overloaded. They said I couldn't add anything else to my service just because it's 100 amp. I mean anything even like a garbage disposal, something that minute. But anyways, you will find a lot of these older homes, you know, they're still sitting with 100 amp service. And
is any of them setting with 60?
Now, that I don't know. Honestly, I would hope not.
Yeah. Well, I was just curious because I used to have some rental property, and they was all 60s, and I had to change them over to 100. And, but I didn't feel like it was done. You know, that they done it, but they just changed that box out. They didn't change no wiring.
Right.
Found anything.
I know, you know, we do get a lot of electrical fires, and, you know, we do have... No, I'll just use the golf course maintenance building. That was an electrical fire. We had a horse barn fire out in the country. That was an electrical fire. Yeah. So, and I can't honestly tell you what kind of ampage they had and what kind of service they had off the top
of
my head.
I was just curious. And Mr. Kirby, you're doing a good job. And you,
well, thank you.
Again, have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it. All right. We got another call.
Right here.
Calling on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
Did there used to be a fire chief in Frankfort by the name of George Reinerson?
Yes, there was.
Do you know if he's still in town?
Yeah, we just had a retiree bean dinner on April 27th, and George was there, so
really?
I got to see him, I got my picture taken with him.
I went to school with him from kindergarten through senior year, although he's known by Phil at that point.
Right, and I actually asked him, because it has been a while since I've seen him, because he used to work at Kramer's.
After he retired. He went there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he kind of retired from there. So I haven't seen the guy, and I thought, well, heck, he must have moved to Florida or something where it's nice and warm. And and he said no, he's still in Frankfort. He just laying low, I guess.
He doesn't come to any of our class reunions, at least the ones I've been to, so I just wondered if he was still around.
Yeah, he is still in Frankfort.
And also, that I was interested in hearing you talk about that sign that's out in front of the building you're going to replace.
Yes.
Were you there in 88 when that was put up?
No. I was in high school in 1988.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if you remember, but when that sign was first put up, it said City of Frankfort Department of Fire.
Yeah, it's not going to say that. So
was that a mistake? It wasn't up long.
Yeah, the fire department. It was. It shouldn't have said that. And I've been kind of kidded, joked with, that wanted to know if I was going to put that back up there, and I said no. So
it almost sounded like you guys, if you wanted a house burnt, just call you guys up and you come burn it.
Well, there's a few hoops we got to jump through as far if you have an old house. IDEM mm-hmm. gets involved. They have to come down and inspect the house, and we got to fill out an application and things of that nature. So, yeah, a few. And we use those houses for training, live burns.
Right.
You know, we got a new firefighter. It's been on for about 3 months, who's never been in a fire yet. And so we'll be able to set, you know, some small fires and let him go in there and feel some heat and actually look through the cameras to see see what it looks like when you're actually looking through a camera, see what you're looking for, things of that nature. So it's going to be used for some very good training.
All righty. Well, thank you for everything.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. John, before I let you go, you wanted to talk about Safer Senior Program. So what do we want to do with that?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, we're always wanting prevention. And Troy, Chief Bacon, and myself, in 2012, we came up with a program called the Safer Senior Program. It's for senior citizens 65 and older who still live in their own home, on their own. You know, we're looking to keep these seniors, keep their independence and stuff. So when we're invited into their home, we go into their home and we have a firefighter represented. We have a police officer represented. We go in and we talk to them about different hazards that could actually, you know, keep their independence, keep them safe. You know, we talk about trip hazards. We talk about, you know, space heaters, you know, where you're supposed to, you know, keep them 3 feet away from any combustibles, things of that nature, and extension cords, too many extension cords. Just things that could actually, you know, hurt a senior citizen. We talk to them how to get out of a house if it is on fire, what they should do. And the police department, they come in, they talk about, you know, lighting and how, you know, different locks and different just things, that, you know, on their side of it for security measures for someone's house, you know, and talking to them about people wanting to come in you know, take advantage of maybe their vulnerability and, you know, and scam them. And so it's a very good program for our seniors. And, you know, this program was going pretty hot there for about 2 years. And all of a sudden, just like anything, it kind of dies down a little bit. And Troy and I got talking about a month ago, and we thought, you know, we need to revamp this and try to get this thing kicked back off. So, you know, we've got a couple press releases out there, got it on social media. And I've actually got an appointment for this Thursday.
Good job. And those appointments are usually 1 to 3 on Thursday afternoons,
yes,
right?
Yes. And the phone number you would call is 765-654-4329 if you want to make that appointment.
Okay. Anything else you want to add real quick before I let you go?
No. And if anybody needs any smoke detectors, we also put up free smoke detectors. And
I didn't get around to that. That was another one
okay.
on my list. So.
Just really quick, this is a program we started in 2015. And it's still going on, and we have put up 3,895 smoke alarms in the city of Frankfort. And that's visiting 1,299 homes, and reached out to 3,908 citizens. So it's a great program. This program is we've teamed up with the American Red Cross, so it's a program they started, but they team up with local fire departments, and you know, this is something we want to take advantage of. You know, they give us the smoke detectors and we put them up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
John, thanks much. Best of luck to you, and keep up all the good work.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, John. That's going to do it for the show today. Our sponsors are Wealthy Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Hardesty Landscaping, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Everybody have a great day. Take good care of yourselves. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.